Vancouver.
I ain't seen this many people trying to get in one place since a bunch of us kids mistook three squares of X-Lax for a Hershey bar.
Good evening. Welcome. My name is Stu Gillum, 29 years old, married, three children. For you fellas that are married, you know what that means. Three small mouths to feed and one big one to listen to. Oh, don't laugh. My wife would have the last word with an echo. She's the only woman in the world that's got a cauliflower ear just from talking on the telephone. I was on my way to work tonight. She come talking about, Stu Gillum, if you don't stop staying out late at night and drinking and carousing and messing around with other women, I'm going to leave you. I'm sure going to miss her, too. I never will forget when we were first going together, we first courting. She came home one day and told her mother, Mama, I don't know whether I want to marry Stu or not. He's an atheist. He doesn't believe in hell. She said, marry him, daughter. We'll show him. But actually, it was a lovely wedding. It was formal. They painted the shotgun white. But actually, as I said, I have three children. We've been married 4 years. Just gotten to the place now when I go home, I see the lights on, I just keep driving. You know, I'm starting to worry about birth control now. You ever stop to think that if the birth rate continues to rise as it has in the last 10 years, by the year 2062, there'll be nothing but standing room only on planet Earth for human beings? Of course, there's one consoling factor. When there's standing room only, the birth rate has got to go down. But no, really, this year we were fortunate enough to be able to buy our own home this year. Detroit, that's our hometown. We bought a little home out in the suburbs. You know what the suburbs are. That's where the houses are further apart and the payments are closer together. Yeah, we moved into one of them neighborhoods, not keep up with the Joneses, keep up with the Rockefellers, you know what I mean? You put in a barbecue pit, they put in a barbecue pit. You put in a cement walkway, they put in a cement walkway. Last month, I put up a cyclone fence, and now the whole damn neighborhood looks like a concentration camp. My wife and I, we're trying to be modern parents. So we're trying to keep our children away from candy and things like that. We got them on a fruit kick. So we keep a bowl of fruit around the house all the time. And my wife has got me on a diet trying to stay in these kind of clothes. I'm on a nut diet. So we keep a bowl of nuts around the house. And every morning we'd wake up, we'd find banana peels, apple hulls, peanut shells all over the floor. Finally, I got sick of that. I said, I'm going to catch these rats. So I set out two traps, one by the bowl of fruit and one by the bowl of nuts. We were sitting up watching television about 8 o'clock that evening, and I heard one of the traps go off in the kitchen, and I ran into the kitchen. My wife said, darling, did you catch the rats? I said, bet your sweet life I did. She said, did you catch him by the fruit? I said, no, darling. Believe me, it's a hell of a way to go, you know. And it could happen to you. You don't know what's... No, you don't know what the hell's going to happen to you. You're sitting up there, you laughing and kicking now and walk right out in the street and fall over. Gone. Dead meat. No. Just like... Man, there's so much of this going on nowadays. You might as well bring it on out into the open. So much stuff going on nowadays. It's just like last time I went to church. Church, when I was a kid, used to be something different. Nowadays, they got these young ministers, college graduates nowadays. And it makes it... I went to church. I hate to say it, but the last time I went was Easter. And we got one of these young ministers, about 29, 30 years old, somewhere like that, wear them continental clothes, you know. Kind of down, and he was talking pulpit. Easter Sunday, he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, there are a lot of y'all out there in the congregation that I haven't seen since last year, last Christmas. He said, a lot of y'all have gotten away from the basis of religion, he said, and I think you've gotten away. He said, so what I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to preach on the Ten Commandments. I'm going to take the first five this Easter Sunday, and Christmas, when I see y'all again, I'll give y'all the last Ten Commandments. He started it, and he got down to, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I don't know how many Baptists we got in here, but I happen to be a Baptist, and our ministers do something they call going to the woods. We got some more Baptists in here? He got down to that, thou shalt not commit adultery, and he got to going to the woods. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Brothers and sisters, every one of us is living in sin. Sin all around us. Sin is being condoned each and every day. Says, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Said, but New York State, if you want a divorce, said the only grounds you can get a divorce on is adultery. The Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, and the state of New York says you must. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, we're living in trouble. He said, I believe that so many of us here are living in sin. He said, I don't believe that there's one married couple out in the audience tonight that could truthfully stand up and say, one man that could stand up and say that he's never cheated on his wife. I believe this so strong. I'll give away a brand new $50 Stetson hat to any man, married man out here that can stand up and say that he's never. Just about that time, Sister Fuller Wilson Hawkins punched her husband Henry and said, Henry, stand up. He said, stand up, woman. You know I look like hell in a hat. Happening nowadays, you'd be surprised. Really. You leave here, you ain't got nothing guaranteed when you leave here. You know that, don't you? No, that's true. That's right. You might as well go ahead and laugh. Tell your husband to laugh, too, because we take over later on. I might be able to save your life. No, but really, there's so many, just like a friend of mine, maybe some of y'all know him, Barbecue Shorty from down in New Orleans. Any of y'all know Barbecue Shorty? None of the deacons back there, y'all don't know Barbecue Shorty? He passed away. Passed away, and he went to heaven, and he rang the doorbell at the pearly gates. St. Peter came to the door. He said, yes, can I help? He said, yeah, baby, let me in. St. Peter looked at him. He said, who are you, and why should I let you in? He said, you know me, baby, I'm Barbecue Shorty. Well, what have you ever done that I should let you in? Hey, baby, I'm cool. Last 10 years of my life, man, I made over $20,000. I never drank, never smoked, never messed around with women. Said I was an upstanding member of my community. Said, in fact, I belong to a white church in New Orleans. St. Peter said, you belong to a white church in New Orleans? That's right. In fact, I was baptized by a white minister. He said, you were baptized by a white minister in New Orleans? He said, that's right. He said, tell me something. He said, did they sprinkle water on your head and they take you down to the water and dunk you? He said, oh, man, I got the full treatment, baby. They took me on down to the waters. St. Peter said, tell me something. This pastor that baptized you, just how long was it about that he held your head up under the water? So I said, well, let me see. He said, put on them white guys, we marched on down, and he ducked a cat in front of me, and I strolled on down in the water. He reached up and grabbed me by the head and pushed my head under. And... damn, if that ain't the last thing I remember! the day. You don't know what's going to happen. Just like talking about children. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to bring my child up, let it alone, not going to teach him nothing wrong. You can't do that. Because the world being the way it is today, there's a threat in being too square. Yeah, just like a friend of mine I went to school with, we attended U of M together. He happened to be an agricultural major. And when he graduated, he married his childhood sweetheart girl. They'd been going together ever since they were about 13 years old. And he married her. And her father gave them 100 acres of land up in Upper Michigan, and they moved up there. And he started with his agricultural experiments. And they grew everything on the farm that they needed to sustain life. So they never went to town. They never went anywhere. And they had 2 years of this, and then came a blessed event. And in giving birth to this boy child, the mother passed away. And this embittered this young father so. He felt that he didn't want his son to know the hurt that he had known in having loved and lost. So he decided to bring his son up completely negligent of feminine pulchritude. The only thing that he knew about women was what he read in the Sears and Roebuck's catalog. 22 years old, a handsome specimen, masculine. Oh, he was, and his father passed away. And the only thing he knew to do was what his father had told him to do, so he hitched up the wagon, put his father's body on the back of the wagon, and drove into town. When he got to town, he drove up to the general store, and they sitting around playing checkers. Coon can. Chewing tobacco, spitting the juice in them little coffee cans. Yeah, you know, them blue ones with the orange writing on them. And he walked in and he said, I'm John's boy. They had never seen him before. They knew John. They said, well, sure, I'm glad to see you. And they gave him a drink of that white lightning, and he had never tasted that before. Two drinks and he was out cold. When he woke up on the back of this wagon, going back to his farm, and on the front seat driving him was the town harlot. He had been married off to her in his drunken stupor. That night when they prepared for bed, the dude what most folks do on the first night of their honeymoon. She was all decked out. She had on one of them long flowing negligees with the fur all around the bottom to keep her chin warm. He hopped in on one side of the bed. She hopped in on the other. Turned the lights out. She started. And just as soon as her heel touched his big toe, he jumped straight up, hit the floor, ran around the foot of the bed, and hopped back in the other side. She said, well, maybe he's a little shy. I'll try this thing again. So she rolled over, and with the infinite patience that all ladies have, took her 45 minutes to establish bodily contact. Soon as she touched him up, he jumped around the foot of the bed and back in the other side. Said, I'm gonna get this fool one more chance. She rolled over in for a solid 45 minutes. Once again, the minute she touched him, he jumped up. He started around the foot of the bed. She sat straight up at the bed and pulled the light off. She said, fool, what's wrong with you? Don't you know what I want? He said, hell yeah, you want all this damn cover, but you ain't gonna get it. Right here, I'd like to propose a quick toast to science. Here's to science. I think science has made some wonderful strides in the last few years. I was just reading in the newspaper last week, where up in Boston, this scientist just crossed a lion with a parrot. They don't know what the hell it is, but when it talks, you damn sure better listen. Well, science is coming up with all kinds of inventions, wonderful inventions. Little things like hormone pills for men. They claim they're good for what fails you. The other day I was down at the police station. That's one thing I want to talk to y'all about. Y'all got some of the terriblest police I ever run into in all my travels. All my travels. But they polite. But they the meanest son of a gun. It's the only town I ever been in where you get a ticket for jaywalking. They told me last week if I get one more ticket, they gonna revoke my fee. Police. Like when I arrived at the airport, this is this young couple in the airport, and they wasn't bothering nobody. They was just sitting there hugging and kissing. Now, do you know a policeman came along and locked both them guys up? That's how I happened to be down at the police station when the telephone rang and the desk sergeant reached over and picked up the telephone and said, "Hello, 33rd Precinct, Sergeant McGinnis speaking." Voice on the other end of the phone said, "Hello, so this police? So this is the old maid's home. A burglar just broke in. Send the riot squad, quick." The sergeant said, "Riot squad to the old maid's home. Burglar just broke in. All right, who's speaking?" And the voice on the other end of the phone said, "This is the burglar." Everybody's talking about going to outer space. How about that? They don't know so much about outer space. For instance, they ain't even told you that there was a woman in the moon, did they? You didn't know that, did you? I know you say you heard of the man in the moon. But I can prove that there's a woman in the moon with the man in the moon. If there ain't a woman in the moon with the man in the moon, where in the hell does the sun come from? No, everybody nowadays worried about outer space. I can remember back when they first appointed the first 5 astronauts. I was in New York then, standing down on 7th Avenue and 125th Street in the heart of Harlem, in the stronghold. And they published this picture of these astronauts, 5 astronauts, on the cover of Life magazine. And all the cats were standing up on the corner talking about, "Ain't this a damn shame? 5 astronauts and not a mile among them. They go into the moon and leave us here." And it can't be done. No, really. You ever stop to think that the way they've got this thing worked out, it's gonna take 3 weeks to make any kind of trip from here to the moon. And let's face it, in a trip this length is going to entail feeding large numbers of people. And let's face it, y'all ain't never seen a white busboy, so we going. Yeah, they've been trying to get a colored astronaut. They called me up and asked me if I wanted to go. Told them, "Hell no, I got enough trouble down here." Then they come talking about, "What's the matter, you yellow?" Can't you picture it? There I am, the first man on the moon. I'm standing there, my silver spacesuit. Just planted the American flag on planet moon. Just risked my life for my country. Just then, out of one of those burnt out craters, steps a great big guy about 8 feet tall. Purple skin, pink polka dots, chartreuse stripes. 18 feet. 17 arms. 32 heads. And 64 mouths all saying, and I don't want you going to school with my children either. Right here, we'd like to do a little tune we had the pleasure of recording on the Manischewitz label. A little thing entitled, When You See the Ring Around the Bathtub, Baby, Then You Know I've Left You Clean. Oh, Grandma, don't feed the baby hot dogs. We're trying to wean her. Oh, Papa can't fly his kite because Mama won't give him no tail. Girls, Christmas time is coming up, and it's time that you start thinking about presents for your young men. And girls, may I make a suggestion for the man who has everything? Penicillin. The last time I was home in Detroit, I was getting ready to cross the street, and this blind man was standing there on the corner. And he was trying to get across the street, so I thought I'd help him out, and I hooked him by the arm. Said, can I help you across the street? He said, thank you very much, I appreciate it. So we started across the street. I said, say, how long have you been blind? He said, well, I've been blind all my life. I said, all your life? Yeah. Say, how long you been talking like that? Well, I talk like this all my life. I said, all your life you've been talking like that? He said, yes, why? I said, ain't nobody never told you use color? President Kennedy just signed a bill to extend unemployment benefits. Now, here's a man that just last year inherited another $5 million. Hell, he don't realize unemployment ain't got no damn benefits. I was so hungry Thanksgiving, I sat down in front of the television set with a knife and fork and waited for the NBC color peacock to come on. Some rough days in my life. I'm not lying. When I was a little bitty baby, my mother hired a woman to push me and my brother around the neighborhood in a baby carriage, and ever since then, I've been pushed for money. No, I mean poor ever since I can remember. Poor. Not poor. Poor. Just ain't got nothing, don't never expect to get hold to nothing. That's right. Me and my brother, we used to have to wear gym shoes all year round. We wore them so long, we wore them out clean up to the name on the ankle. We were so poor, my oldest brother had to get married just for the rice. Lived in one of them little old raggedy houses. We had to paint it before the city would condemn it. I never will forget one day the garbage man was coming down the alley yelling, garbage! Garbage! And my mother stuck her head out the door and said, leave us three cans. With the advent of Dick Gregory, a lot of other folks like that, I've been doing pretty good in the last 2 years. Never would think I was a poor boy at one time. Now I got a suit for every day in the week. Yeah, how you like it? People nowadays, they don't know, especially in show business. Yeah, well, I had a tell the truth, we got some crazy people in this business, y'all. I'm not, just like a friend of mine, we went to school together and started in show business together. He's like most male singers, especially them group singers. He thought he was a great lover. And he used to walk around all the time talking about, I can make love to 100 women anytime, baby, anytime, anytime. And things got rough. He had one of them old hustling agents. And things got kind of bad, and his agent said, man, I hear you always walk around here talking about that. Can you really do it? I said, yeah, baby, I can really do it, no joke. He said, now look, don't be lying to me, he said, because I got a deal working where we can swing Carnegie Hall. He said, we can fill that joint up at $100 a whop, baby. And clean up. Now, you ain't shucking, are you? He said, no, baby, I can do it. 100 women. Just like that. I said, all right. They set it up, and you should have seen it. Full concert orchestra down in the orchestra pit. Violins, oboes, three harps, folk drummers with timpanis, and the whole works. And up on the stage, 100 chaise lounges. Assorted blondes, brunettes, beige, brown, yellow, everything. Music struck up and this cat fell out there in one of them pretty powder blue robes. With pink satin lining, and he fell out of that robe. And down that line he started. Knocked off the first 20, no sweat. 30, he sort of slowed down. 42 to 43, he passed out. An Asian ran up to him and grabbed him in his arms. He said, baby, what's wrong with you? I thought you said you could do it. He said, yeah, man, I don't know what's wrong. I did it all right this morning in rehearsal. Last time I was down home, I forgot that they have them little houses out behind them big houses. And we had driven all the way down there, and when I got in about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was kind of tired. So I laid down and got me some sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had to go, and I grabbed a lantern and stumbled down the path. And I didn't know that they had moved the house during the day. Down in that hole. Cold. Slippery. I stood down there and I said, help, fire! Help, fire! I hollered, help, fire, for an hour. And finally the fire department came, dropped a ladder down. I finally got out, but the fire chief was mad. He come talking about, what you mean hollering fire? Wasn't no fire. I said, well, what the hell did you think I was going to holler? Some of you all are probably aware of so many people migrating to California nowadays. And I was coming up on the train. And to just show you what the cross-section of people you get. Coming up from Texas, we came to Oklahoma. And this young, well, it wasn't young, this Indian couple. Never been on a train, never even been off the reservation before. They were coming to California on the train. And it was amazing to see how they still held the old ways where she did exactly what he told her to. That night when they made up the berths, he got in the lower one and she got in the upper one. And the most amazing thing, in the middle of the night, he wake up and said, oh, me thirsty. And she jump up and grab this little tin cup, make it down to the little girl's room and come back, give him the water. He drink it, lay back out. Another hour later, oh, me thirsty. She grab the little tin cup down to the lady's room, come back, give him the water. Everything was going along all right. He kept doing that all night. She'd go down with that little tin cup, turn around and come back. About 7 o'clock in the morning, everybody was starting to get up on the train to make their stops. He woke up and said, oh, me thirsty. She jumped down, grabbed that tin cup, went down to the ladies' room, came back. Heard him say, "How come them squaw no bring them water?" She said, "No can get them water, pace face, sit them on well." Right here, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to say goodnight. Remember, love thy neighbor. But for God's sake, don't get caught. And ladies, I'd like to say to you, everybody that's leaving, it's motel's time. Motel spelled backwards is letter. You girls might as well go ahead and laugh. He's sitting there laughing. See, you don't know. When he meets the fellas on the corner tomorrow morning, whether you did or you didn't, you did. Might as well have the pleasure that goes along with the reputation.